But hey, I'm excited about tonight. You know, the Bible talks about where two or three are gathered, there he is. It doesn't matter if we're not in a normal season. Like we talked about before, what is normal to God? God is not normal. So whether we have 50 or 100, it doesn't matter. We're going to preach the gospel, and I believe that lives are going to be changed because it's our willingness to be changed. God says in response to that, I have you. And so we are in this really the third week, going on the fourth week in our series called Focus, and taking a closer look at what God has for us in this season. Because I believe that if we do take a closer look, we will see things that have always been there and to see things that God wants to change. Because you know in your life right now that God is rearranging some things, changing some things around, reprioritizing so that you can get a better understanding and look about who he is. Because he has not left you, has not forsaken you. It doesn't matter what's happening or what's going on. God is still in control. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows where you need to be. He knows where you don't need to be. And so we have to trust to know that our footsteps are ordered on the Lord, and it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to throw at you, it will not work. It will not work. And I want you to grasp that tonight, to understand that whatever the enemy tries in your life will not work. He might try to hinder you. You might back up for a little bit, but ultimately God's plan and purpose will go forth. Look back over your life. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care where you've been. God has always been faithful. He'll always be faithful. He's taken you through dry seasons, hard seasons, difficult seasons, and we're excited about that, and we shout about that because of his goodness. Because he said, listen, if you don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out. The rocks will. And so understanding that gives us a different perspective about who God is and allows us to really look in and say, okay, that's what God has for me. Because he's so multifaceted that he wants to show us a different dimension of who he is. And if you're like me, sometimes you get stuck in, you saw one side of God and you think that's all there is. But God said, no, I'm so multifaceted and multidimensional, you can't pin me down to one thing. If you try to control me, I'll break out of that. If you try to think this is the way I am, I'll show you something else about who I am. Because you can't control me. I'm omnipotent. I'm omniscient. I'm all-powerful. I understand the end from the beginning. I understand how things work. And I want you just to come in line with me. Keep in step with my spirit, because the Spirit of God has something that he wants to show you. And he's actually moving in the earth today. You know that. He's moving in the earth today, and he wants us to move with him. And so if you're along for the ride, he says we're going to go somewhere. And so in the book of Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, it says this. It says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No, you know you can't. And so I want you to think about it from this perspective. That word worry, when you look it up, means this. Can any of you, by falling to pieces, add one single hour to your life? What does it really do for you to fall apart every time something does not go the way you think it's going to go? Or you question whether or not God's going to come through for you in one way or another? He says, we're about addition here. We're not about subtraction. I came to give you life and give it to the full. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm about adding to you. I'm not trying to subtract from you. Everything I do is to build you up. And so I'm telling you right now, I don't want you to worry. Easier said than done, because when things are out of our control, our first response is worry. What am I going to do? How am I going to make it happen? How am I going to make it work? And we're so creative in our minds, sometimes it's a detriment to us, because we can create ourselves into trouble, get ourselves into issues, ensnare ourselves because of trying to fix a problem that sometimes God says, I appreciate what I've given you, but I want you to understand that I'm in control and I'm going to work it out the way it's supposed to be worked out. So I'm here to tell you tonight, the first point is this. Got to get out of the way. Got to get out of the way. Because our first temptation is to believe this, is to believe that God's not going to come through like he did before. It seems like it was like ages ago when we first entered into COVID and mass hysteria broke out, and we were trying to figure out whether or not were the stats right, should we come together, should we not come together, and there was just mass confusion and people were being laid off, and we've come so far from that. And I know God's been faithful, because he's shown you his faithfulness in this season. He He's shown you who he is in a different way. As to say, hey, Linda, I've always been there for you, but as you draw close to me, I'm going to draw close to you and show you something else about who I am. And we've talked about this before, that this season has been a blessing if you've allowed it to be. Because you have a choice of whether or not you are going to engage in this new normal and press into God, or you're going to turn the other way and get bitter because it's not happening the way you want it to happen. And so God says, I'd rather you choose life as opposed to going back the other way, because I want to build you up. I don't want to tear you down. Remember the Israelites and the examples that we see in the Old Testament and how God led them into captivity for a specific reason and purpose, just to show them who he was. Not to keep them there, but to show them who he was so that when they got out, they would remember him. But like most people, when they get out of something that God frees them from, sometimes they have a tendency to forget just how ensnared they were and what God took them from. And so God has been trying for years to reach out and restore and to bring us a different revelation of who he is, because he wants us to be in a relationship with him, and he wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. But he knows the only way for that to happen is for us to get caught, for us to have to lay down for a season, so that he can show us, so that when we get back up, we remember him. Far be it from us, those who have walked with Christ for years, to forget what he saved you from. I mean, far be it from us. You can't just throw it away. Far be it from you. And so God says, I want you to remember who I am and what I've done. So I want you to get out of the way. Get out of the way. Know that I have this in control. And as you call out to me, already know and understand that I already know what you need. I already know what you need. I have it. And so what I'm interested in you doing is I'm interested in you coming to me and asking me, and knowing that I'm a good father, that I'm going to actually provide for you. Because I actually want you to live your life. I don't want you to have to worry. I don't want you to have to fall to pieces. I don't want you to have to struggle with the fact of whether or not I love you and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. But what I need you to understand is I need you to come into agreement with me that I am who I say I am, and I'm going to take care of your things. And so I got this door here because I want it to be a symbol for you tonight to represent the fact that God says, I want you to continue to ask, seek, and knock. Because when you do those things, I promise you, you'll begin to get what you ask for, you'll find what you're seeking, and doors will be open for you. Well, what do you mean? That I'm just going to get what I want? No, you're not going to get what you want. The Bible says that we have confidence in this, that if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have those things that we ask of him. So he says, as long as you come into relationship with me and come asking according to my will, you already have it. Well, what does that mean? No, he says, you already have it. Do I have to like beg for it? No, but you do have to be persistent. You do have to come persistently and not give up. Some of you have been believing for years for God to bring freedom into an area of your life, and it's not coming the way you want it to come. And God says, I need you to be persistent about it and keep banging on the door until it breaks. I don't need you to stop. I need you to continue to bother me about it. Listen, I'm okay being bothered, because it shows me your tenacity and your willingness to go the distance and do what's necessary in order to get the breakthrough. So many people want breakthrough, but they don't want to break out of normal. They don't want to break out of comfortable. They don't want to break out of habit in order to get the breakthrough. They just want it to come. And God says, and now it's just going to come that way. You're going to have to stretch. You're going to have to fight through it. You're going to have to pray about it. You might have to cry for it. But I want you there. Because it's in the struggle that makes you better. Anything that's been handed to you, you take for granted. Take for granted. So God said, if you work for it and I give it to you, you'll appreciate it. So that's why I want you in that posture of always coming to me and saying, okay, Lord, it's not supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be this way. God has an intended design and desire for you. And if you're not seeing that, God says, it's up to you to come talk to me about it. Because I want to bring those things into your life and have them manifest into your life so that you can actually live it. And that means that I'm not seeing joy. Well, I got to say, well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Why am I not seeing it? Lord, why am I not seeing it? And keep coming back to it. So God says, I want to bring freedom into areas of your life. Why do I feel like I'm ensnared here? How have I allowed myself to get caught into a relationship? How have I allowed myself to get caught into a faulty thought pattern that is not correct? If you look at the book of Corinthians, it talks about us having divine power to demolish strongholds. Demolish strongholds. You have divine power to do that. That means that there are things that are not only over your life, but over life itself, that you have the ability to demolish. And when you look at that word stronghold, it actually, it means a faulty argument that people escape to in order to escape reality. And so what happens is that rather than dealing with reality, people would rather live in an alternate reality so that they don't have to face what is. Well, the reality is this, that God is sovereign, he is over all, that he understands the end from the beginning, that everything that we need is found in him. But if we are of the mindset that he is not enough and he's not sufficient, what we do is we go looking in other places for things that are going to fill that, because we can't deal with our own conscience. Romans 1 is a fascinating chapter because it talks about their conscience even knowing that God is who he says he was, still decided that they were going to do what they wanted to do. And God said, okay, if you want it that way, I'm going to give it over. And you can have it the way you want it. So even your conscience, what's your conscience telling you? What's the Holy Spirit telling you? Right. And if you can't agree with that and line up with that, you're not going to find the breakthrough that you need. Because it's not found in what is not God's will. So if you want God's will, well, that means that you're going to have to come into a relationship with God. Well, does it happen any other way? No. God says, if you want my will, you're going to have me too. So what people want is they want license to sin. They want license to do their life, but they want God to do the cleanup. Listen, thank you for allowing me to live my life, but do your job. Fix me, clean me, so that I can go back up and live the way I want to live. And God says, that's not a deal that I'm willing to have. Listen, if you want my grace, you want my will, you need to have me. Because in me, you'll find the satisfaction you need to stop doing the things that are opposed to my will. You can't have it both ways. People want to live the way they want to live, but they don't want the parameters or the boundaries that God sets up in order for it to work right. If you want it to work right, you got to get right. You got to get right. Last week I talked about going to that physical therapist and how he adjusted my neck so that I could move more freely and how it made a world of a difference because I was stuck in a portion of my body that was causing me really not to have the motion and the range of motion that I needed to have. Perfect example. We get stuck in our own way thinking that, well, if I get stuck and I do it my way, then I can get God to bless me. God says, that's not the way I work. Listen, you got to do it my way. And you'll get my blessing. Well, I thought I could live my life. You can live your life. I came to give your life and give it to the full. But I'm asking you to do it my way. Because let's be honest, your way isn't really that great. You know it's not that great. You know what I've seen and what I've had to get you through because of your way. And so we've gotten to that point of where we understand that his way is better. And so when something is not going the way it's supposed to go, most of us in here being mature Christians know and sense that, okay, what's up? What's up? I got to get back where I need to get because I need that freedom in my life to do what God has called me to do. And that means working through some stuff. Working through some stuff. Got to work through it in order to get it right. Work through it. Get rid of some of that guilt. Get rid of some of that doubt. Allow God to speak to you about what is reality and what is not. One of the biggest issues that you're facing right now is a distortion of what truth is. People are coming up with their own thought process of what truth is, especially when it refers to what's happening with this pandemic. And that's okay. Things are happening in a way that people are trying to navigate it through, and they're trying to figure out what the best way is. But God says, if you come to me, I will show you. When this first broke out, I felt God dropped in my spirit, I want this thing ended now. It wasn't one of those things where God's like, we're just going to ride this thing out. I can't. We're just going to wait. We're going to wait it out. I don't believe it was God's heart. I believe immediately I felt God said, we need to shut this thing down. We need to pray about this thing and come against this stronghold in Jesus' name so that it comes down. Why? Because what did it do? It exacerbated itself so much that it blew up. Now we're talking about racial injustice. Now we're talking about fill in the blank. Because of that one thing that disrupted normal. And it wasn't that normal was great. Normal wasn't great. It just, I believe, helped spearhead God's plan and purpose quicker for his church to say, hey, get it right. Come to me, draw closer to me, so I can show you truth about who I am, so that you don't get snared by what's happening in the world. You're not supposed to be walking in fear. You're not supposed to be ensnared. You're not supposed to be walking in doubt. You're not supposed to be walking in discouragement. Hello, you have me. You know what? You're right, Lord. You're right. You're supposed to be speaking into it. You're the light going into the darkness. How are you supposed to live your life when the life of Christ is not operating through you because you're bent and so crippled with fear? It is not my plan for you to walk in fear. The enemy does everything he can to try to get you to walk in fear so that you don't rise up in faith. And God said, rise up, look over that, walk in faith so that you can dispel the enemy's tactics. The enemy has no authority. No authority. I don't care where you've come from. He has no authority. The only authority that he has is the authority that you give him. If you give him access, he'll say, thank you. Why do you think we're dealing with what we're dealing with in the world right now? Someone gave him access. Well, that was Adam's fault. Yes, it was. But Jesus came to restore us back to right standing. And so that we don't have to give him access anymore. That's what this life is about. Now you're dealing with the war of two worlds. What we're dealing with here as opposed to the reality of what's happening in the spirit realm right now. Where God says that you're already victorious. You're already healed. You're already walking in my plan and purpose. I already have something for you. You're my beloved. You have that. That's the reality. That's the truth. But at the same time, you have the enemy throwing his darts and his schemes to try to ensnare you to say, oh, that's not real. That's never going to work. And until you get authority, really authority over your own mind, you'll never see God's perfect plan and purpose. So demolish strongholds. Yeah. Then it goes back down into the scripture a little bit. It talks about having the ability to take every thought captive according to the obedience of Christ. That means that you have the ability to be able to line up that thought to God's word and whether or not it's true or not. But you don't know that unless you have an intimate relationship with him, so that when the enemy comes in and says, you'll never make it, it'll never work, you'll stand up and say, no, it will work, because if God is for me, who can be against me? You've already gotten to that position in your life where you understand who God is. You've lived long enough. You've walked with him long enough that thoughts that should take you out don't take you out anymore. Arrest the thought. Kill the thought. Take it down. You have authority to be able to do that. He said, in Jesus' name, you have authority to tear down that stronghold. Go after it and say, now I am going to win. You have no authority here. You've got no power. I will walk in freedom. Do you know who you are? There's too many people who are walking in deficiency when it comes to Christianity. Too many people. They settle for a form of godliness, denying its real power. Having a form meaning, well, I want something that's just going to tickle my ear and get me feeling good about my conscience to pacify me so I can really live the life I want to live. And they're living a lie. Because they're not walking in real power and a real might. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God wants his church walking in authority and walking in power so they can see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Don't mistake that for a minute. God wants you to go into the enemy's camp, take back what he's stolen. Don't get duped into the lie that, well, Adam messed it up, so I guess that's it. No, the second man came and took care of that.
That's right.
So now you have the authority to walk like Jesus did. Because all his promises are yes, and the Bible says that in Christ, the amen comes from you. So that when I go to pray, guess what? What I am doing, Sharon, is I am coming into agreement and saying, yes, I believe what you said in your word is true. Thank you. That by your stripes I am healed. So be it. I agree with that. Thank you, Jesus. That my past is gone, that I have a future in you. Thank you, Jesus, that my old life is over. Thank you, Jesus, that I have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that I have the ability to walk in authority like Jesus did. Thank you that you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. That stuff, promises that God says, listen, they're yours. Yes. Amen. Meaning, so be it. That's what it is. That's what I want to walk in. I am not going to walk into doubt and fear and unbelief and worry about you like me. If you don't like me, don't care. That's God's job.
Right.
I was listening to someone the other day, and bore witness to me so much. We've stepped into this place in life or where we feel like it's about social influence. It's about how many followers I have. It's about my biggest impact I can have in the world today. Who's following me? Who's following me? Reality is this, is that you are not here to make friends and influence people in a negative way. Okay? You are here to influence people in a positive way and to do it God's way. You're not here. And we've got to be careful with this. We've got to be real careful. Our responsibility as Christians is to be a light. So when you have a light shining in the darkness, one of the two is going to win. One of the two is going to win. If your light is shining brighter, it's going to push back the darkness. If it is not, the darkness is going to have a way to encroach on that. Okay? We shut the lights off in this room. It's dark. You'll have a little light. God, I think God is so ingenious in this that even a little light dispels darkness. So he says, listen, even if you got a little bit, let it shine. Because in me, there's no darkness. So I need you to get to that place of where you're shining that light. Shine it. Don't be so afraid of threats, or don't be so afraid of what you think people is going to say and what you think the repercussions are going to be. I haven't called you to be liked by everybody. He goes so far to say this, the fear of man brings a snare. Whatever trust the Lord has kept safe. Trust in me. I'll keep you safe because fear has a way of robbing you of your identity. And it'll kill the life out of you. I'm telling you so much so that I pray that even after this series that anytime fear or anxiety tries to rise up, that you recognize right away, you take that thought captive and you do it anyway. The opposite. It is not God's plan, and I feel like right now that is God's heart for his people, that they understand the danger of fear. I'm not talking about anxiety, okay? We all get anxiety, okay? There's a difference between, okay, I have anxiety, but now it's into panic. And then it becomes to, no, now I have a struggle with fear in my life, and I can't move because I'm paralyzed. You need to get up into this door, into God's word, and start praying some things until that anxiety goes, until tremors go, until sickness goes, until confusion goes, until doubt goes. You got to keep doing that. Because that's coming from somewhere, and you got to shut the door on that thing. Because it's coming from a place that is not true. It's not true. Well, how do you know? It's not true. God is good. It's not in his nature. Not in his nature. So when the Bible talks about every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow or no turning, that's true. So God says, I want to give you gifts. I've given you my perfect gift for my son, Jesus. Yes, that is wonderful. But I've also given you the gift of life, peace, joy, goodness, the ability to think right, act right. I'm not trying to wreck your life. I'm trying to build it up. So if I am acting in a way that is contrary to God's word, I got to stop right there and find out where it's coming from. Stand until it starts to break. You have to do that until it starts to break. You might have to worship through it. You might have to worship through it. There's such a power in worship that breaks strongholds that if you get into worship, you'll begin to see God free you and realize, oh, this is real. This is true. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's the thing that gives me the strength to go on. You got to worship your way through it sometimes. Sometimes you got to work your way through it. That means you got to work through the trail that maybe got you there. And God said, listen, this is where it happened. This is where we need to heal so that we can go back the other way and get it right. And sometimes we just have to wait on the Lord. So you got worship working, you got working, and you got waiting. Those three things are operating right now. There are some things right now. I'm cool. You might say, I'm cool. Great, great. I'm just waiting on God to do some things. Well, you're not doing nothing. You're meaning you're believing. Think about it this way. Try one day, you know, this week, say, all right, Lord, I'm just going to wait on you. Wait a minute. Sit down on your couch. And just wait for God to tell you what to do. Do you know the times that I've done that? And I said, okay, Lord. And the times that God says, I already told you what to do. There's a danger in where we feel like I'm waiting on God and we aren't doing anything. God says, waiting is an active thing. Hmm. Okay, so when you're waiting on me, you're hoping and you're enduring that I'm going to do this. It doesn't mean you stop looking. It doesn't mean you stop putting your hand in the plow. There's a danger in when we don't do what we already know what we need to do. There are responsibilities that we have we need to do. And so when we just say, okay, I'm going to advocate that responsibility because I'm waiting on God, that's faulty theology. Because oftentimes God is saying, I've already given you the derivative, and I've already given you the mandate of what you need to do. I know there's some people in here right now waiting for the next season of what God's going to do. No issue with that. We're waiting on God, but we're moving and we're doing the next thing we're supposed to do. We're taking advantage of the opportunities that God has given us. We're not laying back and saying, oh, I guess that's it. Because once you do that, you get yourself back into a mindset that's unhealthy, and then you allow the enemy to encroach on you, and before you know it, it's not faith anymore that's winning. It's fear. Man, I feel that God has just been stirring me up and said, listen, I've never called my people, I've never called them to stop walking in faith. I've never called them to do that. I've never called them to stop trusting me and believing God. I've never called them that. I've never said stop. Never said stop. The garden was just a small portion of what my ultimate plan was. But I never said stop. My plan didn't stop going forward just because of that one incident. What kind of God would I be if I didn't have a plan to take care of that? So my plan didn't stop going forward. So I didn't ask you to stop moving in me. There's a danger in that. Lord, help me. I think what God's trying to get us to see is that if we're not careful, you can get yourself sick. Physically, emotionally and mentally, if you don't move and exercise what God has given you. That's why there's such a mandate here. What I believe that God's called us to do is to be healthy physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, because of how quick sickness gets in. You're not supposed to stay in the hospital that long when you get there. Sometimes you're there and it's life-threatening, and I get it, and then it ends up happening. Things happen bad, but God said, I want you healed. There are times, even in my own life where I've gotten sick, and if I wasn't careful, I could have let it take me out because of how I felt. If we're not careful, the things that have come into our life, which is just life, can take you out. You have to have that relationship with God that is so strong that you can recognize, hey, it's just life. But I need to come and say, okay, God, your word says. Your word says. Because in reality right now, your life is not that bad. And it's not that bad. As a Christian, think about yourself. It's not that bad. You have the ability to be in a relationship with the creator of the universe right now, who has an ultimate plan and purpose for humanity, who has given you this time and this dispensation of grace to live. You have the ability to hope, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. Death being the ultimate graduation for you. Ultimate graduation. And understanding that these light afflictions that are but for a moment are working for me something that's far greater. Things that are of eternal value. Light afflictions. You can take it. It's not that bad. You've already learned what it lives and what it means to live uncomfortably. You know that. So for you, you know that God's already in those things that are uncomfortable. God's already into those things that are awkward and weird. The Bible would call it strange sometimes. He's already in that stuff. So you know what? That's just normal now. I just run to that stuff. I just run to that stuff. So when I'm uncomfortable, that's just par for the course. I'm not talking about being disobedient. There's a difference. I'm talking about just the life of Christ and the nature of being a Christian. Thinking that, well, it's going to be easy and it's always going to line up. It doesn't. That's why faith is there. That's why I run to the Father. That's why I go to Him. That's why I live life knowing that He's got me and that I can trust Him and I can flap my wings, and if I fall, He picks me back up. That's the way we live our life. We don't live it fearing that we're going to lose all the time, because when you do that, I want you to think how God feels when He looks down at His kids. And His kids are not standing up in faith, speaking truth, telling the enemy where to go. How does God look at His kids? How does He feel about that? Knowing that I died to give you life. I died so that you can have victory. I died so that you can overcome. That's my heart for you. That's where I want you to be. I don't want you to be in despair. You don't have to be there. You don't have to stay there. I understand discouragement. I've been there. I get it. I went through that. What He said, you have the ability to strengthen yourself in me. I've given your promises. They're yes. Just say amen. Just say so be it. Just walk into me. No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Because I'm with you. I'm with you. How many of you sense that? You just know that, man, God's calling me to something more. To raise my game. To understand who I am in Him. Because it's going to be necessary for these days. It cannot be church as usual. God is not doing church as usual. He wants His church to be the church. You're the one who goes into the enemy's camp and takes back what's been stolen. You're the one who goes in and does that. You're the one, not someone else. You're the one. God's waiting for you, Sharon, to get into position and say, yes, Lord, I will do it. Regardless of the cost, I'll do it because I know who's with me. Let's all stand with you. We can go all night and just preach until someone falls out the window, like a New Testament will fall. Pray over them, raise them back up, keep preaching. But the reality of it is this, is that you can take it, you can hear it, but if you don't do nothing with it, it doesn't work. There's such a stirring for God's people to get right not only get it right. I mean, I'm talking like no games of where it's like, well, maybe God will, maybe he won't. God says, yeah, I'm really done with that. I'm really done with that. I want people who are ready to go the distance with me. When you're in a fight, you want those people who've been with you in the fight, or you've seen them fight before, to be with you. I'm going to know that I got someone next to me that if I'm going to go in there, and I'm going in full blazes, it's about to get crazy. And I know someone's going to say, you know what, he needs some help. And I'm going to come in with him because they have my back. That's what I want with me. I think God would say, listen, I'm looking for people who have my back. But I've already got into hell. I've taken the keys of death and hell. I got that back. I'm sitting on the throne waiting to see, all right, now who's got my back? My eyes are going back and forth looking for some righteous people. Who's got my back now? God's not some chump just sitting on the throne with golden locks, hair just kind of going in the breeze with angels fanning him with strawberries. And then God's not some chump. God's victorious, sitting on the throne making intercession for you. You! While we do this. It's not hard. It's too hard. That wasn't a great message today. This wasn't great for me. I didn't feel great when I left. Are you supposed to? I felt great. Well, I think you should feel uplifted and stirred to action. Not I just didn't feel that. I didn't feel pacified. And God said, that's what I'm getting at. I'm tired of pacifying my kids. You've already been burped, fed. I need you now to get up and take responsibility and go do what I called you to do. I'm going to be with you because I'm with you in this thing. So when we get into a fight, I'm with you. Remember that. So it's going to get nasty, but I'm with you. Okay? That's what I'm looking for. Are you with me? Some of us have been through so much, it don't matter. I'm with you, man. It don't matter. I'm with you. God said, are you with me? Are you with me? That's good. Father, thank you so much for this. Thank you, God, that you're not a chump who's just sitting up there waiting on something to do. Lord, you've already done something, and you are doing something right now. Thank you that you made a way for us to have a relationship with you. Bring us back into a place of restoration. You've given us a new name. You've given us a new heart. We have a new destination in you, and we're excited about that today. And I pray that we would get just a revelation of that, to know that you are so in love with us, and that you have such good things for us that anything the world tries to throw at us will deflect because of who we are in you. Thank you for the faith that you give us just to tread on the head of the enemy. Knowing that he has no authority in our life. Thank you that you've given him allocated permission to do what he deems necessary in the earth today. But ultimately, your plan and purpose will go forth, that he will end up where he needs to end up, and that your people will reign eternally with you forever and ever, and that we can rest in the fact that we are your kids, that we are your sons and daughters, and that we are on your team. On your team. Thank you, guys, that you chose some chumps in here. You chose some. But you made us champions. You made us new creatures. You made us new in you. You made us fighters. Thank you, God, so much that you chose us the lowly things of the world. pray for this world that needs you. And I pray tonight, as we leave here, that your people would have a sense of their value, sense of what you've done, and that nothing the enemy will do will thwart their progress in you because of your goodness, in Jesus' name.